Arizona News Radio, Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery says no criminal conduct in relation to gifts and incentives given to lawmakers by the Fiesta Bowl.
But that's different than me being able to say, and as a result, we're going to charge you with a crime.
Glendale police say 5-year-old Jesse Shockley's body likely ended up in a dumpster in Tempe. It's probably in the landfill in Mobile. But next?
That includes conducting analysis to determine the likelihood of success of recovering Jesse's body. The decision whether to search will be finalized in the coming weeks.
The Independent Redistricting Commission has a tentative final map for both congressional and legislative districts.
We're calling it tentative because the approvals were subject to analyses by our voting rights consultants and the commission's counsel.
Cooking grease probably responsible for a Phoenix house fire.
You know, anytime you have a kitchen fire, you look at an extension into everything around your, just think of your typical kitchen stove and the cabinets.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic brought to you by Children's Advil. 4 o'clock hour, we have an accident in Tempe, westbound, eastbound Loop 202 at the Center Parkway. Also look for a collision Buckeye Road east of South Central Avenue. And watch for an accident eastbound I-10 at 16th Street. Nothing brings your child's fever down faster or keeps it down longer. Choose Children's Advil Relief you can trust. And, of course, we're talking about Children's Advil. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Still a chilly Thursday ahead for us, upper 50s under partly cloudy skies. But then Friday into our Christmas weekend, we clear out for some beautiful weather, mostly sunny by Sunday afternoon, close to 70. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy Lee. Currently we are at 62 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
This news report is sponsored by the Arizona Lottery. You're officially on jackpot alert. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is $104 million. Get your ticket at the nearest Arizona Lottery retailer now. Simple Green, the original green cleaner, presents the Green Tip of the Week. This week's tip, make a change. Try to carpool or take public transportation to work, school, or shopping just one day per week. Or try riding your bike one day. You'll save money, fuel, and get some exercise. That's this week's Green Tip of the Week. Visit our website at SimpleGreen.com.
Pack of cigarettes.
You 18?
Hey, no one's gonna know.
It'll cost $300.
$300?
Look, that's the fine I pay for selling tobacco to kids.
I'm not paying $300 for cigarettes.
Neither am I, kid.
I'm Attorney General Tom Horn. Selling tobacco products to anyone under 18 is against the law, and anyone caught can be personally fined up to $300. If you sell tobacco to minors, you will pay the price.
Brought to you by Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn.
Every day is a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Is anyone out there tonight who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible? Who still questions the power of our democracy? Tonight is your answer.
Oh, and Senator, just one more thing.
We can do anything we want.
Don't you realize politicians always make extravagant promises?
The line must be drawn here, this far, no far.
Welcome to Legalese. This is Jack Wilinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, is unavailable, and I'll be covering the show for him. We're talking about the big redistricting. Dare I call it a fiasco? No. It's an issue, like any other political issue. We've got some great guests on the line. Robert Ritchie, executive director of FairVote.org, a voter advocacy group. Just to give us an overview on where we are with everything and the history of the redistricting laws or laws concerning redistricting. We've also got on the line an Arizona redistricting commissioner, Rick Sturtz. Mr. Ritchie, I'll go to you first. We've all heard a little bit about what's going on with redistricting in Arizona. Of course, every state in the union has to go through this every 10 years after the census is completed. Why don't you tell us why we have to do redistricting, why it's so important for us to do it every 10 years?
Well, the requirement to have it be done every 10 years is a relatively recent one. There were Supreme Court rulings in the 1960s that said that if populations of districts were getting really out of whack, that you were having a situation where one area with a million people might have one representative, and another with 200,000 people might have only one, and you know that you're really getting away from the principle of one person, one vote. And so there were a series of rulings affecting congressional redistricting, state and local redistricting, somewhat different standards about how precisely equal in population those districts have to be. But the goal is to have representatives in the same legislative body representing the same number of people. And we only count people in an official, definitive way every 10 years with the census. And so when the census comes out, we've got some new numbers, and the goal is as quickly as possible to get districts in line with those numbers and have equal population. But, of course, that's not with a neutral impact. Changing who is in a particular area can change who is likely to win in that area, and there's a big fight over how those lines are drawn quite commonly, and what are the governing principles. And that's what we are seeing going on all around the country right now.
So your organization is called fairvote.org. Where do you guys come out on this? You're a voter advocacy group. What are you advocating?
We want to have the voters have a level playing field and an equal chance to participate in a meaningful election and actually win representation for someone to really speak for them in a legislative body that is, of course, supposed to be representative. And we think that should mean representing as many of us as possible. It's very easy to have many examples of when you just give the legislators, the elected officials, a chance to draw their own districts, that there's a lot of self-interest involved because you're basically getting to choose your own rules, or quite specifically, choose your own voters before those voters choose you. And you help your friends and you hurt your enemies. And whoever is in power tends to come out of it looking a lot better than those who weren't in power. And that's not putting voters first. That's really tilting the game. And one way to try to deal with this is an independent redistricting process. And we think it should be as criteria-driven as possible. And I know my other guests on this show will be able to talk about what's been done in Arizona toward that goal and some of the challenges in trying to make it real. But that's the vision of what it should be. It should be clearly based on criteria that we all agree is what should govern the process. Beyond that is what we think we need to start talking about a lot more seriously, is to make line drawing less determinative of outcomes. The basic problem is that if the lines that we draw, no matter how we draw them, determine the outcome of most races and can have clear partisan impact and impact on racial representation and all kinds of things, if that process matters more than what voters do in elections, then we've got things turned around. So what we want to actually start looking toward is what we see in some local elections in the U.S. and see quite commonly used around the world, which is some kind of non-winner-take-all system where if you and I live in the same place, we don't necessarily have just one representative and can actually vote for different people and help elect two different people and actually end up with representation that both of us think is good for us, even if we don't see eye to eye on all of the issues.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit off the air. That's a little bit radical, wouldn't you say? I mean, you're saying there's some smaller districts, not even districts, there's some smaller elections that do that.
Well, smaller in the U.S., though we have seen it at a high level in the U.S. as far as the State House of Representatives in Illinois used to have three-seat districts where it took about 25% to win one out of three. And what that meant quite specifically was that pretty much every district had shared representation. It was really hard for one party to win more than two seats if it took more than 75% to sweep all three. So you had greater access for all kinds of people in the minority, including racial minorities. Some of the real tension that we see is voters, I think, understandably want to be in a meaningful election where their participation matters, where their vote is wooed, and where they can hold people accountable by changing their vote. So competition matters, but at the same time, we all want fair representation. We don't want one party to kind of dominate the other, or we don't want all of one kind of us to win. We want balance. And that's hard to do with competition unless you go to some non-winner-take-all system. And there are systems that are very consistent with the American traditions, and that's actually for Congress. All it would take is a statutory change. There's a relatively recent law that was passed in the 60s requiring these one-seat districts.
Right.
But even at that time, Hawaii and New Mexico had at-large congressional elections, and you know there's a history of this. A lot of different ways of doing things in this country that we sometimes forget because we get kind of stuck to thinking that what we're doing is what we have to do.
Yeah, personally, I like that. I like to think outside the box. I think Israel and the Netherlands, they're just one giant district, and that's it. So that pretty much takes care of any redistricting.
Right, no. And we see a lot of cities. Cities can do that, too. There's a lot of at-large city elections, but sometimes you see these non-winner-take-all systems. But as far as using some kind of proportional voting, It's used for at least one national election in pretty much any country you can think of. And it's just a normal way of looking at things and a normal way of trying to provide fair and balanced representation in competitive elections. And I think that while we can make steps forward within the confines of single-member winner-take-all districts, the conversation you're about to have with folks in Arizona, I think, is going to show how difficult it can be and how contentious.
Right.
And at the end of the day, voters will, as in the last 10 years in Arizona, probably most of them end up in races where it's pretty much determined by the lines what they're going to get for the next 10 years.
Let me ask you this. I know there's been some talk about changing the way we do this. Can you give us an overview of the way that other states handle redistricting?
Well, most of them for congressional just leave it to the legislature. Congress actually could establish some national norms, and ironically, the only national norm they have affecting every state is, well, there's two. One is they have to use single-member districts, which is that relatively recent law, which basically sort of forces gerrymandering upon states. And then secondly, there's the Voting Rights Act, which is a broader law, but within the Voting Rights Act, it ensures that racial minorities under certain situations of racial discrimination potentially finding its way to the ballot box are given opportunities to help elect candidates of their choice. It doesn't have to be someone of their race, but it's someone of their choice. Those are the two things from Congress. And then the states typically leave it to the legislature. Sometimes there's state constitutional provisions or state laws that set some restrictions. If you look at some of the lines, like in my state of Maryland, it is the most incredible gerrymandering you can imagine, you know, with just even the idea of contiguity, which is that district lines need to be continuous and, you know, districts don't intersect one another. It stretches that definition to the very edge of what one could imagine. And you just see that on both sides, and both parties are kind of sticking it to the other. The general trend this year has not been to try to push it all the way to try to win as many seats as you can, but instead to protect the incumbents you have. And then, you know, sort of shore them up and then maybe try to get one or two more. And so what I think we'll actually likely see next year is a lot of non-competitive races, sort of more than we saw the last few House elections.
You know, I've got a map of the districts sitting here in front of me. And, you know, you look at number two, there's this funny, I don't know what to call it, except a kind of gerrymander here that meanders around the I don't know what river that is up in northern Arizona, but yeah, these maps are crazy to look at. You can tell just plainly that there's something funny going on with them.
And sometimes things can look really funny, but actually be done for a noble reason. So compactness can actually disguise what is a gerrymander impact on certain kinds of people. So when you're trying to balance these needs of competition and the Voting Rights Act and fair representation, you know, for different parties, sometimes the lines
right.
end up looking pretty funny because
right.
the voters are not being able to get what they want.
There's not necessarily anything wrong with that. That's another point we'll come back to in the show. We got to take a break right now. This is Legalese. We got a couple guests on the line. One is from a voting rights organization, and the other is one of the redistricting commissioners, Rick Sturtz. This is Legalese on KFNX.
I have the answer. Call me for this link, and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient-dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma Culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day, or let an ache tell us what we can and cannot do. We will not linger on the sofa, ask somebody else to bring us the mail, or take the parking space closest to the door. But what we will do is take action. We will plan ahead. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. Lace up our sneakers and grab our tennis rackets. We will bowl. We will do our morning laps and bike ride through Saturday afternoon. We will walk our dogs around the block. We will pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
At the American Lung Association, we're fighting for a day when we can all breathe easier. We're fighting for clear skies over every city and healthy lungs throughout the country. We're fighting to keep harmful secondhand smoke out of our public spaces and workplaces. And fighting to free millions of Americans from the addictive grip of tobacco and the devastating effects of lung disease. We're fighting for a day when kids no longer battle airborne poisons in their own homes or the fear of an asthma attack. The American Lung Association isn't just fighting for air, we're fighting for all the things that make it worth breathing, and we can use your help. Join us in the fight. Visit fightingforair.org and read about just a few of the many ways the American Lung Association is fighting to protect the air we breathe, both indoors and out. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest-growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8090. PremierBarter.com.
Hello, this is Francis Battaglia, owner of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Let me introduce you to a friend of mine, John Van Tilburg with HomeSmart International. He's the Republican Real Estate Agent at RepublicanRealEstateAgent.com. John doesn't use gimmicks to sell homes, but rather relies on 25 years of experience and aggressive marketing. Receive dinner for two at Ruth's Chris when your transaction closes. Visit RepublicanRealEstateAgent.com, or you could choose an agent that is supporting Obama's reelection. RepublicanRealEstateAgent.com.
Log on and listen to Imus in the Morning.
Imus in the Morning.
Only on 1100KFNX.com.
Log on and listen live.
Start your day right. Don't miss Imus in the Morning right here on KFNX.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host for today, Jack Willinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Willinchek, is not available. We've got two guests on the line today, and we're talking about redistricting. We have one of the redistricting commissioners, Rick Sturtz. Also on the line, Mr. Robert Ritchie, the executive director of FairVote.org. Before we went to the break, we were talking about some of the finer points of redistricting. I think my last question to you, Mr. Ritchie, was to talk about how other states do it, because there has been some talk about whether we should change the way we do it. If you'd like to go on about that.
A lot of people would look to what Arizona has done, this, you know, a law that passed in 2000 to try to set up a commission as, you know, heading the direction that other states think should happen. But it's obviously been contentious, and you'll hear more in the show about why and how and whether there's tweaks to it or whether the whole thing should be scrubbed. I mean, my sense, though, would be the kind of the Wild West approach of most states, which is just let the legislators do their thing. That doesn't really seem to work so well either. I mean, when we think about state legislative redistricting, one stat that always jumps out for me is that about 40%, 4 out of 10 state legislative races are not even contested nominally by a second major party. It's just like a one-party uncontested win. And they just did redistricting in Virginia, which had state legislative races. And in those state legislative races for the House, they had 72 of the 100 races did not have a contest. They didn't even have a second candidate. You know, so that's right after redistricting. And there was a lot of incumbent protection, a lot of helping each party get their way, and that's not the way to go. But trying to make a commission work has its challenges, too.
Let's get into those challenges. Mr. Sturtz, first of all, we should explain to listeners, the commission has five people on it. You are one of those people. Why don't you explain how, by law, the commission is supposed to work?
Well, in 1999, year 2000, a proposition was put in front of the voters of the state of Arizona. And it was called Proposition 106. In Proposition 106, the basis of it was to take the redrawing of the decennial census mapping out of the hands of the state legislature and put it into a independent citizens commission. The commission is made up of two Democrat appointees and two Republican appointees. And then those four select an independent person who acts as the chairman of the commission for its duration. Our term of commitment is 10 years. So we are commissioners for the next almost 9 1/4 years, as this takes us all the way to the when the next commission is seated is the last date that my appointment is over. It is a marathon.
Yeah, right.
But the concept of the redistricting commission was the belief that citizens would be able to have a more neutral or independent view of what the political process is. And although in 2000 when it was put into place, in fact, I heard some testimony yesterday from Minority Leader Chad Campbell, who I asked the question. He said that map that was done by the previous commission was completely gerrymandered. I wanted to explore sort of the concept of gerrymandering because gerrymandering is a word that's been bantered around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Ritchie would know it well from Maryland. This actually comes from one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence,
right. Governor
Mr. Geary, who was from Massachusetts. And it was the practice that attempts to establish a political advantage for a particular party by manipulating geographic boundaries to their advantage. The concept was that if we took it out of the basement of the legislature and put it out into the light of day, that gerrymandering wouldn't take place. So I was a little surprised that the last commission was accused by Chad Campbell yesterday of gerrymandering the last map. So the question with him, and I said, Mr. Campbell, do you think then the public was duped when they voted for Proposition 106? Proposition 106 asks the commission, the five of us, to consider six objectives. The first is that the districts need to comply with the United States Constitution and the United States Voters' Rights Act, something that was passed in 1965 and amended and has been challenged and refined over the years. That's our very first criteria. The second is that the congressional district shall have equal population. We're able to do that this year up to one district, which is going to have one more person than the other. Each of the nine congressional districts will have 710,224 residents. One will have 225. But that still falls within the constraints of the 14th Amendment of one by one vote.
Right.
The third is that districts shall be geographically compact, meaning that we're trying to give the benefit for the representatives to be able to actually move their way around in their district and to be able to communicate with the citizens. And contiguous, meaning that if you look at the map that we're currently working under for the last 10 years,
which I am,
you'll
right
see a very odd design that connects to the Hopi Reservation.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
We actually call it the Hopi Cloud because there are 16 people, plus or minus, that live along that long stretch of road that connects to it.
Right.
But as Mr. Ritchie had said before, that there was a reason behind that. Even though it looks gerrymandered, it had a logical reason that the Hopi did not want to be with the Navajo. So they wanted to be split apart. The other is that our district boundaries shall be respectful of communities of interest. That's been a phrase that's been bantered around through the legislature and the governor's office and throughout the state and all of the public hearings that we've had about what the definition of a community of interest is. It's ranged everywhere from, well, this is where I shop, to we're part of a neighborhood association, to we're a community. But really, it goes all the way across to being transportation corridors, economics, the general ways of life, that you wouldn't want to take a neighborhood and split it in half, that sort of thing. Next, we have to draw our lines that we're using visible geographic features, mountain ranges. We wouldn't want to split the top of Mummy Mountain and have one district on one side, another on the other, because there's no way to connect from one side to the other. We don't want to place a mountain range in the middle of a district, so you'd actually have to go around it, go into somebody else's district to get to your constituents on the other side. So we've got to take into account geographic features, city boundaries, town boundaries, county boundaries, undivided census tracts, etc. And then we also, after all of that is done, and it was reinforced by in 2009 by the Arizona Supreme Court, that this was an equal component, which is competitive districts should be favored. After we go through all of the other issues, after we have refined them all, that we do not significantly bring a detriment to any one of those other items that I just brought forward. I hope that, Jack, that gives the listeners a decent overview of what our task is.
It does, yeah, and, I've already got a couple questions. One, you see, I've seen the term competitive district. If you can explain that for us.
Well, the concept of competitive district would be the same concept about being able to elect, as Mr. Ritchie was describing earlier, the opportunity to elect either someone from either of the two majority parties, meaning that in the state of Arizona, there is approximately 36% of our voter registration is Republican. A little over 30% of our population is Democrat. And the remaining 33 to 34% is split between Independents, Green Party, and many, many other parties that sort of fill in that remaining 34%. So the minority party in the state is clearly the Democratic Party. There's a little less than 975,000 registered Democrats in the state, and a little over 1,125,000 registered Republicans, and the balance fills out the rest. So the concept of competitive district would mean, with active voters in a particular district, would you be able to elect either a Republican or a Democrat in that district?
Right. Okay. We're going to have to take a break here. We'll come back with all that, because I've got some basic questions. You know, I studied a lot of math in college, and I've got some basic questions about if every district has the same number of people, I don't really know how you even could accomplish gerrymandering. But we'll talk about all that when we come back from the break. This is Jack Wilenchek on KFNX 1100 AM.
How would you like to put your troubles with the IRS behind you? If you are behind on your taxes, don't try negotiating with the IRS alone. The IRS can take advantage of taxpayers who don't know the law or collection procedures. Ameristar's team of enrolled agents, tax professionals, and CPAs with master's degrees in taxation can go to work to protect you from paying too much. Get fast relief with Ameristar Tax Centers. Once the proper paperwork is filed, Ameristar will deal with the IRS directly so you don't have to. Plus, Ameristar Tax Center is a certified member of the Tax Freedom Institute. We know your rights. We know the secrets to getting you maximum savings. Get real tax relief by calling for a free, no-obligation consultation. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-761-7056. If the IRS is garnishing your wages or sending threatening letters, we can help. Call now. 800-761-7056. 800-761-7056.
CNN Radio, I'm Shelby Lynn. The impasse over extending the payroll tax cut could end up costing Republicans politically.
This is a Christmas gift right now to the Democrats. They couldn't have played this out any better politically, because what we're seeing right now is how this would affect everyone's wallet individually. You know, we've run pieces where it talks about how much this would actually affect people. So right now, Republicans are on the wrong side of this issue.
That's CNN's political director, Mark Preston. The GOP-controlled House adjourned for the holidays without passing the Senate's two-month tax cut extension. Bank of America agrees to pay a record $335 million to settle a Justice Department lawsuit that it engaged in discriminatory lending practices between 2004 and 2008. A new Iowa poll finds Texas Congressman Ron Paul is now leading the pack of presidential hopefuls in the key caucus state. Newt Gingrich has dropped into second. The Iowa caucuses get underway on January 3rd. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery says no criminal prosecution in the Fiesta Bowl scandal.
At best, it's circumstantial evidence that has to be considered with other statements and conduct in trying to prove that when they first filed those statements, they knew then they were not properly reporting.
The question about gifts to lawmakers. Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies arrested a Tempe man for the theft of $600,000 worth of gold and silver coins from a home near Sedona.
Our detectives had developed information linking Thomas to the theft, and this was based on a prior business relationship he had with the burglary victim.
Glendale police released more information about the disappearance of 5-year-old Jessie Shockley. They believe her body was put in a Tempe dumpster. They still want to talk to the mother.
Jerise Hunter has not submitted to a polygraph, but our investigators encourage her assistance and cooperation in this investigation and would certainly make a polygraph examination available through her attorney.
George Tatter, Arizona News Radio.
This check of York Haven Extravagant Service of Children's Advil. We still have that accident eastbound 202 at Priest Drive. Watch for a wreck. State Route 143 at University. And also we do have another accident. Thunderbird Road eastbound. That's at 35th Avenue. Nothing brings your child's fever down faster or keeps it down longer. Choose Children's Advil. It's relief that you can trust. And again, we're talking about Children's Advil. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Still a chilly Thursday ahead for us, upper 50s under partly cloudy skies. But then Friday into our Christmas weekend, we clear out for some beautiful weather, mostly sunny by Sunday afternoon, close to 70. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently we're at 61 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-285-9771. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. And it doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not, it'll be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those who need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. 1-800-285-9771. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get that free vacation voucher for donating, so call right now. 1-800-285-9771. That's 1-800-285-9771.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This holiday season, we have several Quantum State supplements on special, perfect as a gift for yourself or loved ones. Support your health during the cold winter season with a premier winter kit. Promote your best digestion with the HCL Detox Kit. And enjoy whole body herbal rejuvenation with Quantum 360. Everything is buy two and get a third one free. What a deal. This holiday season, give the gift of great health. Call 800-370-3447 to take advantage of this limited time offer. That's 800-370-3447. Experience for yourself a quantum shift to great health.
Hi, folks. Jim Seawards for Legends Cadillac wishing you a happy holiday season and a great new year. And special thanks to all our customers who have again helped us be the number one retailer of new Cadillacs in the entire Western region for the third year in a row. 2011's been a great year for Legends Cadillac, and we're going out with a bang. Cadillac has just announced 0% financing for 72 months on every 2011 Cadillac. Yes, folks, that means the number one crossover in the world, the SRX. And yes, folks, that means the number one full-size SUV in the world, the entire Escalade family. And yes, folks, that also means the CTS Coupe and Sedan. And oh, by the way, that includes the V-Series. Now, where are you going to find a better year-end closeout like this? If this doesn't get you in the holiday spirit, nothing will. So come in and take a test drive, meet our friendly certified sales staff, and see why Legends truly is like no place else. In North Scottsdale or online at legendscadillac.com.
Have we reached a new era in real estate? Is real estate still a part of the American dream? The experts are speaking a new language. Tune in to Real Estate Talk with Scott Whitwam, Saturday at 7 a.m. on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
You have the right to remain silent. If you give up the right to remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer!
And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Get me my lawyer! I've been humiliated!
That's what I want now!
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, couldn't make it. Today on the show, we're talking about redistricting. I've got two guests on the line. One of them is one of the Arizona redistricting commissioners, Rick Sturtz. And I've also got Robert Ritchie, who's the executive director of FairVote.org, a voter advocacy group. Before we went to the break, I threw out that basic question, which is, if you have the same number of people in every district, how can you even accomplish a gerrymander? How can you work that? I know that leads into a lot of other issues, too, so I'll throw that question to either one of you who wants to respond to it.
I'll maybe talk about it generally. One way to think about it is certainly the physical look of the district can be extremely gerrymandered, right, because you can have the same number of people in each district and have those districts have incredible distortions and contortions, and we often see that. The other is just mathematically, let's say you have five districts, and let's say it's a pretty evenly balanced jurisdiction between whatever, you know, say the parties in a partisan sense. It's kind of a 50-50 area, and they have five districts. If you have one district be 90% for one party and 10% for the other, they still only win one seat with those 90%. So they only need 51%, and they have 90%. So you've sort of packed in an extra 40% of voters. And those voters, if they were spread around other districts, might well help that party win more seats. But you can then win the other four seats so that in a 50-50 balanced jurisdiction, you can end up with a 4-1 split just because you really packed one of the districts and you gave that one away and then you won the other four, like 60-40. And that's sort of the math of what we often see. So we see these kind of imbalanced outcomes. My state of Maryland has 8 congressional districts. It's very likely going to be 7-1 Democrat after this next election. The plan they're fighting over in Ohio, which is, of course, famously a very competitive state, has 12 very safe Republican seats and only 4 Democratic seats, and they sort of pack the 4 Democrats. That's the pattern of what one does. If they have modern computers and the powers to kind of figure things out down to really almost the household level, you can actually really pick things and try to steer outcomes in a very specific way.
I'm still a little bit confused on that basic level because you have elections where majority wins. Even if you're packing one district, they all have the same number of people, it seems to me, that the other districts, then I guess you've got the basic problem there that you have, you know, an unequal number of people affiliated with one party or the other, but I still don't really see how you accomplish a gerrymander there if technically every district has the same number of people. But I know that's not the case. We were talking about a little bit off the air that part of this is predicting where people are going to be in 10 years.
That's not really how the gerrymandering happens. It really is
right.
You winning 4 seats, 55-45 or 60-40, and the other party winning one seat, 90-10, right? So as long as you can have the other side that you're trying to hurt, you know, give them one, but pack them, or give them two, give them something, but then you spread your vote out evenly on the others, and then you can get your way.
Okay. So even after the commission's done its work, Mr. Sturtz, we know there's still another level here of law that we have to pass through, courtesy of the Voting Rights Act. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
The very first process is that after the maps are approved by the commission, they'll be going to the Department of Justice for what is called pre-clearance. The Department of Justice will be reviewing the design of the maps, the supporting information of how they were reconciled, how the calculations were made in the majority-minority districts. So let me explain that just a little bit. In the state of Arizona, which is subject to the Voters' Rights Act, on a congressional level, because we grew so much over the last 10 years, we're going from 8 congressional seats to 9 congressional seats. But we did not gain sufficient enough in the Hispanic population to actually gain what would be called a third majority-minority district. We will probably cross that threshold at the next census, but for the purposes of this analysis, we are only preparing
two
majority-minority districts. Those districts have got to be designed in such a way as you have the ability to elect. And that's what Mr. Ritchie was referring to earlier. Now, when you were speaking about gerrymandering and weird-shaped districts, Arizona is a challenge just to begin with because we've got large, concentrated population in our urban areas, and we've got vast amounts of rural land that are very lightly populated. So you end up with some districts that are extremely large where the population is spread among many, many, many square miles. And some that were concentrated almost very compactly, for example, District 7 that currently exists in urban Phoenix, which is one of the majority-minority districts. One of the challenges that you have, because of the Voters' Rights Act, to create these two majority-minority districts, you are grabbing large populations, in this case of Hispanic population, to provide a percentage of what are voting age Hispanic individuals that at the time of the census that will be designed into a district that is at or above the percentage that was at the previous census, meaning that we cannot retrogress. We cannot go backwards and go in an opposite direction. Now, when it comes to the competitive issue that we had spoken about in the last segment, that's where it throws off because somewhere between 75 and 80% of Hispanic registered voters registered Democrat. And in these two districts in the state of Arizona, we have to grab a number, a percentage. It's approximately 60% of the overall population will be voter age Hispanics living in two districts, which polls a large quantity, and again, this goes back to math, what you had spoken about earlier, large quantity of Democrat registered voters that we cannot utilize or spread through the rest of the state. So what Mr. Ritchie was referring to was called packing. Packing and cracking are two terms that are used very typically in gerrymandering, which the two aims are to pack as many of the, you know, an opponent's strategy would be to pack as many of your opponent into one district so that they will have such a dominance in one district, allowing you to control the rest. That was, frankly, one of my issues of this particular commission as it, through its draft maps. The draft maps that were approved, they voted 3 votes for the map, 1 against, and 1 abstained for the congressional maps. I voted against the maps that are being circulated right now, mainly because I believe that these maps have packing issues. They also have constitutional mandate process issues. We have one district, District 5, which currently has a 98.7% voter registration advantage, Republicans over Democrats. Another district has got a 78% voter registration advantage. Another district had a 68.1% voter registration advantage. Those are solid Republican districts. They will be, for the next 10 years, a Republican in those seats. They are not competitive.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'm still a little bit confused by the issue because I read an article here in the Arizona Republic by Lori Roberts where she mentioned that due to the Voting Rights Act, we will never have competitive districts. I guess that's what you were just trying to explain. I know that, yeah, competitive districts are actually a requirement of what you're trying to do under the Arizona Constitution.
I want to correct that. It's not a requirement. It is a requirement that we contemplate it. As to the extent, and I'll read you the language just to make sure that your listeners are clear on this.
Right.
As to the extent practicable, competitive districts should be favored where to do so would create no significant detriment to the other goal. And the other goals are Voters' Rights Act, United States Constitution, equal population, communities of interest, geography, city-town boundaries, census tracts, etc.
We're going to have to take our final break here. I'm talking to one of the Arizona Redistricting Commissioners, Mr. Rick Sturtz, as well as Robert Ritchie, the Executive Director of FairVote.org. This is Jack Wilenchek on Legalese on KFNX.
For news and weather every half hour around the clock, set your center button to 1100 AM and lock it in. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
At the American Lung Association, we're fighting for a day when we can all breathe easier. We're fighting for clear skies over every city and healthy lungs throughout the country. We're fighting to keep harmful secondhand smoke out of our public spaces and workplaces. And fighting to free millions of Americans from the addictive grip of tobacco and the devastating effects of lung disease. We're fighting for a day when kids no longer battle airborne poisons in their own homes or the fear of an asthma attack. The American Lung Association isn't just fighting for air, we're fighting for all the things that make it worth breathing, and we can use your help. Join us in the fight. Visit fightingforair.org. and read about just a few of the many ways the American Lung Association is fighting to protect the air we breathe, both indoors and out. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
London Gold, it's the best.
When it comes to fine jewelry, in every large city there is one jeweler who makes the difference. In the Phoenix metro area, that jeweler is London Gold. London Gold Jewelers is now offering you diamonds, accompanied with a certificate, at direct dealer cost. As the rest of the Valley Jewelers promote their sales, we at London Gold would like you to know that you can buy your loose diamond this holiday season at the very same price dealers pay across the country. That means more value for your money, more diamond for your money. And for the holidays, that adds up to a pretty brilliant gift and a very sweet surprise. London Gold, serving the Valley with three locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, and Scottsdale. Online at londongold.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
Now it's a legal matter, baby. You got me on the run. It's a legal matter, baby. A legal matter from now on.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilenchek, is unable to make it today. We're talking about the redistricting issue in Arizona. I have on the line one of the redistricting commissioners, Mr. Rick Sturtz, as well as Robert Ritchie, the executive director of fairvote.org. Before we went to the break, we were talking about how difficult it is to accomplish what, I guess, the goals, if that's fair to say, of the commission are, according to the Arizona Constitution. Mr. Sturtz here just explained to me that they are just goals, even though the Arizona Constitution lays out certain things that it should be done, that if they're not practical and they can't be done, then they won't be done. One of those things is to have competitive districts, which, as you were explaining, is a district where there's a chance that either party could win. But for various reasons, that's just an ideal. You're saying at least one of those reasons is because there's a piece of federal law, the Voting Rights Act, that makes that hard to accomplish. You've got some other issues, I think you're saying, or some other concerns with the interplay of the Voting Rights Act and the provisions about race.
It was the concept that creating the majority-minority districts that are 60% Hispanic voting-age population, that you create, and the majority of those individuals are registered Democrats, just by nature of math itself, you're extracting a large quantity of Democrats that are no longer able to be in other districts where they could create a sense of competition. The real challenge is, quite frankly, in how to take a small group of Democrats that are in a minority position in the state, then pull out a large quantity of those Democrats which are going into two districts, and then take the remaining Democrats and try to create districts that somehow make sense around the rest of the state.
Okay. I mentioned it earlier on the air. I'm looking at an article here by Lori Roberts in the Arizona Republic. Her editorial criticism, she said, personally, I think the redistricting commission got the congressional maps wrong. To gerrymander the districts to the point where Fountain Hills is in a district with Colorado City and Yuma is a joke, end quote. How do you respond to that, Mr. Sturtz?
I agree.
Yeah, it's hard not to agree with that. Fountain Hills, Colorado City, Yuma, we're talking one big chunk of Arizona. In fact, I'm looking at the map right here. Geographically, that's more than, it's got to be more than 50, around 50% of the state maybe in District 1.
The funny part about it is that it's a mammoth district. It's still smaller than, you know, I've heard the arguments about the size of the district. I'm less concerned about the size of the district and its geography as it is the contents within the district. The idea of extracting out Fountain Hills and plucking that district out, or connecting Apache Junction in the Santan Valley up with Lake Havasu. These have been my concerns with these maps, and I've made them very vocal, but I've been, unfortunately, I haven't been able to get the ear of the chair. This is something that I really wanted to talk about a little further.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Mr. Ritchie, when you start looking at committees or commissions in other parts of the country, I'd like to know whether or not any other of these commissions that you have seen being established, California and some of the other states, that are using Arizona as a potential template. We have two Democrats, two Republicans, and an independent. When we are polar opposite in our thinking of the Democrats and the Republicans, it really places 100% of control of the design of the maps of the state of Arizona in the hands of one person. I'm wanting to know from Mr. Ritchie whether or not he feels what the framers of the Constitution originally would have thought to having the district lines being drawn and controlled by just one person instead of by a group of legislators as it was originally contemplated.
The state constitution, the 2000 ballot measure?
I'm talking about the federal constitution as well.
Well, I mean, the federal constitution, there's nothing about requiring single-member districts in districting, and they definitely left that to the states. The Congress had the right to override what states did for congressional elections, though even that was a little bit disputed, but it was a state issue, and even the very fact of drawing districts at all. What you underscore there is just how partisanship and partisan decisions are hard to keep out of this process when there's a partisan impact. The model that seems to work the best, but it's not clear how much it can work elsewhere just because it's a certain kind of state with a certain kind of political culture, but it's Iowa, where those drawing the lines are the sort of civil servants called the Legislative Services Bureau. They are completely supposed to be criteria-driven. They don't know partisan information, so that they don't have a mandate to do competitive districts, or they don't know where incumbents live, because as soon as you know that information and you know the impact that your line decisions have on those factors, the harder it is for a partisan calculation to not get into the picture. So it seems to work there, and that's more of the international model, that it's not like trying to get partisan balance, it's just trying to take partisanship out of it, and that's, of course, very hard to do in our process, which is why I think voters need to make a decision about this, and voters in each election should be able to control representation. We shouldn't do it for them every 10 years. It's too much power. It's too much power for one person to have. I think it's too much power for five people to have. You know, it's too much power to be able to basically structure outcomes based on winner-take-all lines. That's sort of the bigger challenge for our democracy. When you look at Arizona, for the state legislative districting, sort of the easiest way to kind of think of what we would like to see done is take those 32-seat districts and make 15 four-seat districts and say it, you know, takes 20-25% of the vote to win one of those four seats. And you would find shared representation and competitive elections and Voting Rights Act compliance across the board without much work. It would be kind of a different scene just by having that different kind of rule.
As you were saying earlier, that would require a new statute by Congress, the repeal of an older federal statute you're referring
to? Well, the state one wouldn't. It would be totally within the state law and sort of state consideration. To do it for Congress would require a new law that permits states, kind of restore states with the right to use multi-seat districts.
Yeah. What Mr. Sturtz was alluding to, I think, was that even not going that far, other states, for example, New York, it's totally controlled by the legislature. I guess that's where the talk is going. Should we be doing that too?
I mean, that's what most states have, and then you see, and that's what, of course, Arizona used to have before 2000, and what you generally see is whoever controls the legislature draws lines that are very good for them. And if you have sort of divided control, they tend to protect as many incumbents of both parties as they can and kind of have sort of sweetheart deals. Like New York State is a good example. They famously have had the Republicans have controlled the state Senate and the Democrats have controlled the state assembly. So, you know, each controls one house. And for a 40-year period, each party controlled their house and the other party never took it. So you have the same voters returning one party in control of the state Senate working within the Republican districts, and then those same voters returning Democrats to a healthy majority in the assembly working within the Democratic districts. It really was a good example of how whoever draws the lines matters. But I don't think usually you just see one party being able to do it however they want. And then when you get these sort of bipartisan deals, of course, that's sticky too. The losers in all this, I think, are the voters who are generally left with having to accept what's been given to them as a chance to participate, and most voters really aren't in any meaningful chance to do that.
That's for sure where I come out on this, is that really this is just part of the political process. I do like that idea of just turning it over to the voters, because my understanding is that's pretty much where the courts come out on it too, and that'll probably be my final question is, of course, we heard that, you know, the governor tried to remove the head of the redistricting commission. That didn't quite work out. Question is, after the plan is finished, can there be a challenge in the court? I'm going to venture to say that that's going to be very difficult, because even the courts don't like to get involved in this too heavily, consider it to be a political question. That's just what it comes down to, is that it's a political question. In the minute left, Mr. Sturtz, I'll give you the opportunity to say your thoughts on that subject. So after this plan is finished, if any party has a problem with it, is there anything they can do about it?
If the last commission history repeats itself, the lawsuits will begin to be filed the day that the vote is taken to approve the maps and send them forward. The one thing that is most important to me right now is this commission has taken an enormous amount of time to collect public opinion. An enormous amount of outreach to the community, 31 public hearings during the 30-day review process during the draft map review, taking 6,500 different pieces of submittals, 7,000 pages of public testimony, enormous amount. I want to make sure that this commission goes to that testimony and actually reads it. I do not want to see an outcome-based map, and that has been my concern from the beginning, and my concern is we finish this process out right now, that it's been nothing more than theater, that all we're doing it for show and not for substance.
Yeah. On that note, I want to thank my guests, Mr. Rick Sturtz, who's a member of the Arizona Redistricting Commission, and Mr. Robert Ritchie, the executive director at fairvote.org. Thank you guys so much for coming on. This is Jack Wilenchek on Legalese on KPNX 1100 AM.
Every day's a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest-growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8090. PremierBarter.com.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays at 1 p.m. on KFNX. KFNX News.